Why are we recording?
Because we had a lovely evening with some wine and thought it would be a good idea to record a podcast. So hello and welcome back to the Jury More podcast. The podcast where we're having a baby.
Are we?
I don't know.
You're not pregnant.
I'm not pregnant. I guess I get to clarify immediately. I'm not pregnant. I am drinking wine right now.
Because you mentioned that you're drinking. So yes, that would be a worrisome. Now, that'd be Elaine. If we were the couple that's like, hey, like she's pregnant and we're drinking. Like that would be some real Andrew Tate shit.
That would be really fucked up. Yeah.
We'd be top P.
I don't know what that means.
He's top G. Moving on.
Anyway. But yeah, it's been a pretty emotionally charged, dare I say rough, coming on almost 2 months, I think.
Where do we want to go back with this?
I think we haven't gone back and listened to the kids episode of Jury More.
In fact,
probably should have done that first.
I think we both realized that there is a recorded episode that's been available on the internet the entire time called the kids episode, where if we ever wanted to refer back to our official statements on the public record about having kids, we could have.
We'll just delete them. It's fine.
That'll actually be a good episode.
Yeah.
Where actually we re-listened back to that episode because either of us have listened to it since we recorded it back in 2014.
Yeah. It is now 2023.
Yeah.
A couple years later. Yeah, I guess I'm not really sure where to start with this, to be totally honest. I think Justin and I to start as far back as I can remember. Before we got married, had a conversation about kids, and we both remember it very differently, and that's fine. But ultimately, I was very firm on not wanting to have children. And there's a lot of reasons for that that maybe we'll get into as we chat in future episodes. Maybe we'll get into it a little bit today. I don't know. We'll leave that at that for now. Like I was very, very firm on it and haven't really thought about it since. And one might even say, Justin might even say that any time we have in air quotes recent, but as long as we've been together recent years, I've been very hostile to the idea of even just like conversations around it. It's been very scary.
That would be safe to say. Yeah.
Yeah. All of that. This is very hard for me to talk about, realizing that I'm recording this into forever.
The record.
But all of that kind of changed, I think, two very distinct moments for me, in the last year. One, a very drunken conversation, not even a conversation, a comment that you made in Amsterdam, to me mentioning children and me being a good mom or like something.
Do you want me to
say
what I said?
Yes.
It was at the end of our trip to, all various different points in Europe. We were in London a few different cities in Germany. And then we spent time in Amsterdam before and after Germany. And we were ending our trip in Amsterdam. And we had a great night, an amazing night. And while we were sitting in bed, I said to you that you were the only woman that I would ever want to be the mother of my children. And I thought that that was something that would be, I've told you I loved you a million times. I feel like I've demonstrated my love to you a billion times. And so it was among the only things I felt like I could tell you in a moment of pure contentment and infatuation with you that would be new. Now, I will also say that it was the most I could muster of a conversation that I'd wanted to have for years. And we can get into, you know, appropriateness of such a conversation, in later episodes. But that was a moment. I said that to my wife.
As we were laying down in bed to sleep,
we were still talking, but it turned into sleep real quick.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden the conversation just kind of died, and that was that. And that was fine for me, because I'd said it, and that's what mattered to me.
Yeah. And, I tried to not visibly cry, cause it was actually a very, very stressful comment for me. And I think, at the time, now I will say in more recent years, even prior to that, the idea of kids has kind of like been more of a thought than it had been in the past from when we had talked about it before marriage as well. Just in that I'm getting older and like, if I'm going to change my mind on it, like the clock's running out. Right. Yeah. And so like I'm 37. And so, you know, last year, even though it was a very scary prospect to me for lots of reasons, I'm sure we'll get into, we didn't talk for the rest of the night. I cried a little bit, went to sleep. Flash forward.
I didn't hear you cry.
You didn't?
No, I went to sleep.
Okay. I was definitely very scared. And actually maybe I should talk about why, since we're talking about it now. Without getting too deep into it, I think for me, you know, I'm a planner. I have for a very long time kind of planned and mobilized my life in a way that like, what are the things that solely I want to do as an individual? Obviously with you, because we're married, but like, how do I mobilize my life in a way that we can achieve all the things that we want to do? And I think, especially when I was younger, and I will say like, you know, I didn't exactly come from, I wasn't exactly upper middle class growing up. No. A lot of people around me and my examples of having children, you know, very young, like when you had children, that was it. Like the only thing that you did was children. You didn't have time to yourself. You didn't do these other things.
There was a dividing line because of money.
Yes.
Where you went from being your own person to a caregiver.
Yeah.
And there was not enough dollar to stretch to make both possible. Like that was the reality. The reality was, and if you got pregnant younger, then
yeah,
that was it.
Yeah. And even just in my personal life growing up, without getting too deep into it, but like, you know, my parents were divorced. I lived with my mother. My mother worked third shift. I have two younger sisters. I kind of throughout high school and even some of middle school became the caretaker in a way, like responsible getting my sisters down, responsible getting them out the door for school. And I even just remember thinking, it's like, wow, this is really hard. And obviously I know it's different when people are the parents versus, you know, the sibling, but I certainly didn't have the respect of being an authority. And I was like, wow, this is hard. I never want to have kids. Like having seen, you know, like the money situation that you're talking about, having seen that play out within and outside of my own family, but also, seeing it play out in my family to some degree and having to be kind of like that caretaker really, I mean, it feels bad to say it. And I hope to God my family never listens to this. But like in a way it did really turn me off from children, because it's, you know, I know when you're like actually the parent, it's a ton of work, but you know, I was a teenager having to do
yes
a lot of it every day.
And it is interesting to know that note when you then find out fast forward several decades, you're the oldest. Your middle sister has two kids. Your youngest sister has a kid. Like everybody else from your cohort has procreated, and you carry these lessons from being older and taking care of them. That was something that, you know, scarred you, because yeah. as a younger person, understanding what that level of expectation was, something that, you know, when you graft it onto your modern world, you're like, oh Jesus, that level, that I level mean, of stress and pressure, like right now when shit is actually happening. Absolutely not.
As someone who does not have a child today, I know that I cannot truly know how much responsibility it is. But the glimpse that I saw at the time, it was just like, shit. And also, maybe it's why my siblings and I have had them in reverse order. Like, the youngest had one first, and then my middle sister.
Well, yeah.
But
there is a sociology paper there. Anyway, the second thing, you said there was one conversation that was the thing I said in Amsterdam. Well, what was the second?
Well, I do want to finish up on Amsterdam really quick.
Okay.
I will say, with that context in mind, I know you and I have talked about how, like, in your head, like, you thought that it would be a great opportunity to kind of like bring that up at Amsterdam because we're on vacation, we're having a great time, the time of our lives. Where in my mind, like, that represented, like, oh, this is our freedom. This is like our ability to do what we want and not like not get to have, like, you're proposing the idea of us not having this anymore, like, kind of thing that happened in my head, which is why that bubbled up for me. But again,
which is probably why you were crying while I was snoring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Flash,
I'm a very good sleeper.
You're an annoyingly good sleeper. And if we have a fucking child, like, I'm going to shake you awake to go deal with it.
Oh, no. I think I would be like when I need to, like, wake, the times that I sleep the worst is when I know that I have a thing that I need to do. I would assume that if we had a kid, I would actually be a shittier sleeper. Because I would know there was a thing I needed.
I might actually fall asleep before you. The dream. so yeah, flash forward. You know, before that, I've already kind of like, I've at least was mentally primed a bit and thinking like, oh, I'm getting older. If this is a thing, I need to be thinking about it more. And even past Amsterdam, like without us talking about it, knowing that it's been an elephant in the room, I have put I won't say a lot more thought into it, but I've thought about it more as a like, maybe, but probably not. Like, was kind of like where my head had been. And then what we've been calling Tea Day was the second thing.
Yeah.
Tea Day being.
How do we describe Tea Day?
We took some friends out about a year late for watching our birds in Amsterdam, which is,
wow. Oh, wow. It was tied to that.
It was tied to that because they had watched our birds for 3 weeks while we were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just kept putting it off and putting it off. And then I was like, oh shit, it's almost been a year. We should definitely take them out. And so we took them out for tiki drinks
There's a great bar in Austin, Tiki Tatsuya. Mm-hmm. You need to get reservations because there ain't a lot of seating, and it's one of those
about a month out kind of.
Yeah, like, and it's like some of these very high end tiki bars that you'll see where when you order a certain cocktail, lights turn on and off, and people, there's props and lights and sounds and shit like that.
So this was like an afternoon thing because it was when we could get a reservation in under a month.
Mm-hmm. On a Saturday.
And so we get home, our friends follow us home for a bit, hang out, they leave, and it's like 6 o'clock maybe.
And we're like,
we're a little faced. We're just a little tipsy.
I'm going to say,
yeah,
we were, I mean, cause even you making the decision that you make right after this is not made by a sober Ashley.
No, it's not. So it was 6 o'clock and I was really tired because we've been drinking a lot of sugary, stiff drinks. And I'm like, all we've been doing is sitting down and drinking. Like, I just need to get out and go for a walk. And you propose.
Can I walk away from you and just go on a walk myself? That's what I initially wanted to do was, just, I had already had a bunch of fucking booze. I'm going to do what I like to do in general, which is just go for these very long walks that involve cigars and more alcohol. Like I would just be faced by myself, but I've come to, through the pandemic and the lockdown, make peace with binge drinking if it is paid the penance of walking a lot. and so I was like, all right, let me do that. But then you, to my great surprise,
walk with you.
Are like, oh, I'll walk with you. And I'm like, can I still smoke a cigar and like drink the whole time? And you're like, yeah. And so I'm like, well, geez. All right.
And so we started going on this walk. And I wanted to pick back up on a conversation we were having before, because I don't remember the exact points we were talking about before, but I knew there was like one thing that like, or a couple things, one thing really I wanted to talk to you about where it was like, hey, we're doing well. Like I'm doing well in my career. You're doing well in yours, but like, what's the next big things that we want to do? And so we're like, maybe
new challenges. New challenges has been a thing that we have talked about for a little bit because like career, home ownership, moving, like a lot of things that we would put on our to-do list, we've knocked out and we have challenged each other in conversation over the last 10 years about like, okay, well, what are the new challenges? What do we want to do?
Well, and I know like I was like, I want to talk to you about a couple of things that I would really like to do in my life. Right. Like, and I start off with like, you know, at some point I would like to like start a kind of like small local business thing. Like, I'm not sure like what it would be yet, but like, I would really like to embark on something like that, that I could build a little community around. And like, the only other thing was like, hey, I've got this like EU citizenship now, man, it would be great if we could like, you know, live a year for someplace just outside of the US to just say that we did it and like experience like another culture, whether that's Croatia where I got my citizenship or somewhere else in the EU. And like, and I ask you, I'm like, hey, so like, what are the things you want? You're like, oh, well, I have everything that I want in my life. And I'm like, oh, well, there's always something more. And then you go like,
so flashback. There was a night, and I'm going to guess it's about like 8 months ago, that I was hanging out with Brian Brushwood, and he asked me about the kid stuff, and I basically laid out where we were, which was like, yeah, I would still like to be a father, but I don't want to startle Ashley. I don't want for her. I don't want it for it to affect our relationship. And she has not been receptive to any hints, you know, that I have dropped around the subject. And Brian told me things that I said almost verbatim on this walk, including that I have paternal tendencies, and that can resolve itself in many different ways. Either we could talk about having a kid, we could talk about adopting a child, or I can just talk about, you know, mentoring, like some underprivileged child, like that would be a thing for which all of which for me would be things that I would very much enjoy doing, and I'd very much enjoy putting a lot of effort and time into. And I said a version of that after, you know, couple hours of tiki drinks and I think another
having a walking
another walker on the way.
And I immediately went quiet.
You did, and I immediately backed off and said, "We don't need to talk about this."
And I said, no, we should talk about it. And we did a lot.
I don't know if it would have happened like that if we weren't walking on the side of 290.
On Ben White Boulevard.
On Ben White Boulevard. Like, I do think it weirdly had to happen in that moment where there was no other distractions. We couldn't really go, you know, I know you hate, I think you should leave references. We couldn't go to the phone. Like it was just us. Like, it was literally just us walking, and we were lubricated enough where, yeah, like, real talk was the only talk that was going to be had.
Well, and I, you know, you've talked to Brian before, after Amsterdam happened, and I was panicked because I was afraid that, like, oh shit, this is going to be the end of our relationship because I don't know that I want a kid. And, like, clearly, like, there are other hints that you've had, but that was, like, the strongest one. Like, I don't know if Justin's going to want to be with me if I don't wind up wanting to have a kid and everything. So I had talked to my best friend Anna about it, and she was, like, really pushy with me about talking to you, but I was also dodgy about it. Because I was afraid that, like, oh no, will this, like, end our marriage? Will this be, I would rather avoid it forever. And so, like, she and I had talked about in the past too and broaching it, but I'd been avoiding it. You'd clearly been avoiding it as well. And then when it came up, like, in that moment without those distractions, like you said, I think it was just like, you know what? Like, if this is the end, this is the end. Let's just fucking rip the band-aid. Yeah. Like, and so, yeah, we talked a lot, and I cried a lot. But I think, like, without getting into
can I just say this? The fact that you took it seriously was something that I was not expecting.
Yeah.
Because every other conversation that we've had about this, anywhere close to it, you have shut down and said, no, the answer's still no. Like, that has kind of been the way I've interpreted any, it's either non-reaction or a very quick, very harsh, absolutely not. And so the fact that in that moment, there was like, well, I don't know, let's talk about it. That was something that I had never experienced ever. Like, even when we were initially talking about stuff, mm-hmm. like I to be totally honest, right now, as I'm sitting here, like, I still wonder whether or not a car hit me the moment that, like, I asked the question, because it just seems so distant from the reality that I knew before.
And I can't blame you for that, like, at all, because I, you know, I have been pretty hostile toward it up until recently. And part of why I become less hostile about it is because I've, even though I haven't put as much deep thought into it as I have, like, this last 2 months, I've definitely thought about it more. And, like, and I want to take it seriously, because, like, if I'm going to change my mind and if I'm going to go forward, like, I can tell you for certain that I don't want to be pregnant when I'm 40. I'm 37 now. So if we're going to do it,
we gotta
get moving. Like, because I'm already a geriatric pregnancy if I do it. So I think, I think the conversation was all in all great, even though I cried a lot.
Do we want to get to the moment at St. Elmo?
Do you want to talk about this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. You tell.
Oh, no. I want to hear this through your perspective.
So Justin and I,
this is the end of the walk.
Yeah. We've walked like over 5 miles.
We have.
And we had picked up at least 2 ciders or beers or seltzers or whatever on the way.
We started drunk.
We got drunk.
5 miles later.
I guess we didn't say that it was like 95 degrees on this walk and the sun was down.
We're sweating.
So that was not helping. So we sit down at this brewery and we're getting,
it was kind of a vision quest. We went through the fury and the fire.
Yeah. We get this one more drink. We're talking, we're inside, 'cause it's hot as balls still, even though it's like 10 o'clock or not, I don't know what time it was. And we're holding hands across the table and I'm drinking my cider. Justin's drinking his beer. And you had like been like, you know, I've never really, you know, understood, or like, 'cause we talked a lot about many reasons why I've kind of like steered away from children or been like so resistant and even like put my guard up and just shut conversations down. He's like, I never really understood it so much. And like, I feel like I kind of like have, paraphrasing, but like a better idea of like where you're coming from. You know, I just wasn't sure if it was because you thought that I wouldn't be like a good dad or a good father. I'm like, are you kidding? I know you'd be an amazing father or something like that. And then you immediately started crying. And then
I'm like right now.
No, and that almost broke me. I'm like, fuck, I'm going to throw away my birth control right now. I need to give this man a baby. clearly more complicated than that. We can talk about it later. But like, but I was so shocked by that in that moment, because like, I was so shocked that you felt that way. And I felt so bad that like, you even thought that maybe I thought that. And I'm like, oh no, why are you crying? You're like, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. And I'm like, but yeah, it was like a very emotional moment for me, and even probably more so for you. but yeah, that's kind of how we ended our night. We still talked and then eventually got a Lyft or whatever, but
yeah.
No,
that's exactly how I remember it. And I think, you know, for jury more listeners, refer to issues 1 through 24, like in terms of my own pathos with my family, and I legitimately did feel that there was a part of it that you didn't believe in me as a possible father, because I mean, look at my father. Like, he's not great. And like, you could look at me and say, okay, well, you're not him, but also I don't have a kid. So like, I can't be him. Like, if my dad and my mom were just, you know, married, then my dad would probably eventually fuck up and then he'd just leave her. But like, that could be our story. Like, we don't know. And for you to say the way you did, that you believed in me as somebody that could be the father of your children, you know, it was something that even now talking about it, it meant something to me that I didn't realize I even wanted. And I guess this is a really, really good way that we can kind of bring it together, because it, you know, it starts and ends with me saying a thing in Amsterdam and you saying a thing at the St. Elmo Brewery, and they kind of match together. But what has happened since, and we will talk about on this new season of a podcast that,
yeah,
I think is happening. Because by the way, oh yeah, also, this is something that I think needs to be said. This is not planned. Ashley mentioned, should we do Jury Moore stuff before we even get pregnant? And I was like, let's go fucking right now and record, because a lot of this shit will only get more fuzzy going forward.
Yeah. And so it is July 29th, 2023.
Yep.
And I will say, and I'm sure we'll probably get into all kinds of things related to this, hopes, fears, aspirations. But I will say, because Justin and I have talked about this a lot over the last couple of months, that like, I'm certainly leaning toward a child. And I think that's probably what we'll do. But who fucking knows? I'm not pregnant today, but I also want to document this, you know?
I can cut this if you want, but okay. As we are talking right now, the shields are down.
Yes. So the shields are down. All right. Yes. This is the last topic. I feel like we should wrap soon, but like like I said earlier, one thing I know for sure is I don't want to be pregnant at 40.
Yeah.
If we have a kid, I have been on some form of birth control since I was 16, before I was 16. So like, you know, 20 years, roughly, a little over 20 years. I know that if you want to get pregnant, it can take time once you're off of it to, you know, get pregnant. It could
take a normal man.
It could take a year. It could take a month. we don't know.
Yeah.
So as I'm
stats,
as I'm making my decision on like how I feel about it, good or bad, and I would like to get ahead of that and not like wait to be too late. Now, Justin, in his commentary about his stash,
stats, check the numbers.
Well, let's just say he's very proud of himself and he keeps raising the numbers in every conversation we have and every breath. But we've also started to do some fertility testing.
Yep.
I'm waiting on blood work as we speak. And Justin jizzed in a cup. So he's annoyingly fertile and he's very proud of it and he can't stop joking about it. And it's about to get annoying, especially now that we're recording
at an unnerving level.
I took your numbers to my gynecologist on Monday. She's like, yeah, I got a friend who who's a jizz scientist. And he says you need to look at like motility and like something else. And so I pull it up on my phone. She's like, wow. Yeah, no, he's doing good.
Yeah.
So he's annoyingly fertile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
That's what we're ended. This is Jury Moore. More Jury Moore?
Season 2, Episode 1.
Jury Moore Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess until next time, we'll see when and if this ever gets released.
Mm-hmm. Until then, we'll see whether or not you get to meet Le Petit Hon.
Another story for another day. Adios.